Hi, everybody! Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and it's good to be here on a nice and rainy Sunday night where I am. I wonder what it's like where you am. Or are you? This is a podcast where I talk all about interesting information. It has nothing to do with the Kink TV show. So if you want to check out that, then just search it in YouTube. But if you're in Melbourne, check it out on at 11:30 p.m. every Friday night on Channel 31. And if you're not in Melbourne, like I just said before, go on YouTube. Do you want me to repeat that again? Let's hope you behave, this podcast, okay? Let's hope you listeners behave. Now, I just got to give you a warning. Hold on. Okay, when you hear that noise, it means I'm slurping my tea like a dirty pig. That's what it means. So don't be alarmed. It means I'm just drinking some tea, which tastes quite nice. I'm quite happy to be having it right now. Now, today's podcast is all about the book 1984. It's an amazing book. I just finished reading it for the third time, I think. Well, maybe fourth. Great book. It's a really good book. It's really mind-blowing. It's by George Orwell, and that's not his real name. The author's real name is that, like, Eric Blair or Eric Arthur Blair or something like that, and he's an English writer. And he lived to about the age of 48, and he died just after World War II and just after he published this book, just after he wrote this book. Ooh, do you think maybe the elite didn't like him? Ooh, because he gave away their operating bases, their plans. Literally, it lays down how the New World Order works and what it, like, it's very, anyone who knows about the New World Order would absolutely love 1984 because it really describes the New World Order in just such an interesting, it's just so insightful. Like, he really knows what he was talking about. He apparently did some work in for British intelligence, I think, and I know he was a soldier in a war or something in Spain, and he worked a little bit, I think, for the BBC, and I think doing a little bit of propaganda for the BBC. Well, here's the thing. If you work in any mainstream media organisation, there's propaganda in it. So anyway, so when you read the book, right, because I'd some experience with the Church of Scientology, which is like a big organization and a big bureaucratic sort of organization. And it's almost kind of like, you know, it's a totalitarian system, like the way the church is and it's run and how, like, let's say you got a world full of, you got Scientologists out there and then you have this organization, the church, that like controls all of them and is in control of everything and puts out propaganda to all their Scientologists. Whereas you don't quite get that in the world, let's say, of carpentry, right? In the world of carpentry, there's not like one dominant, powerful, super carpentry business that everyone has to follow and be a part of and be controlled by. Anyway, so being involved with the Church of Scientology, I really got an idea of how these big organizations work with structures and levels and just to, because the Church of Scientology is a lot smaller than a government, for example, but a government's just a much bigger version. So I've got to see how all these things worked and a lot of life experience I have and a lot of things I've studied. So when I went to read 1984, it was like, whoa, it really meant something. I always thought the book was good and intelligent and had interesting ideas in it, but I never could appreciate how amazing the book was until I'd had all this life experience and realized that he was right. like about all these things. Like you really think it, you get sucked into thinking it's all fiction, but it's really not. It's really not fiction. Like so much of it is truth. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. Really, it really is mind-blowing. The first part of the book where it lays out the first whole, the whole first part of the book, there's three parts to it. The whole first part is basically just an introduction, setting up the whole story and explaining to him, to explain to the reader, I guess, what this world is like that he lives in. This world with this huge government and some special big brother guy that everyone loves and admires. And that was the one more than anything that blew my mind. Like the last chapter was a bit, well, it's just all of it's so good, but the first part really blew my mind because it was just, I was just reading it going, oh my God, he's so right about all these things. Like he's obviously so well experienced. It's just, it's incredible how intelligent it is, like how it talks about propaganda and it talks about, I'll give you an example. Even he'll describe someone, for example, in the first part, he'll be describing someone who's a part of the party, you know, this party thing. Because it's like the whole of Oceania, which is sort of Australia, England and America, have been put together into a super state called Oceania, right? It's a big superpower. And I was going to say something, I forgot. Well, this is just embarrassing. I totally can't remember because I sip my tea. So that's that big organization and it's been taken over by people who want to have a revolution. Like, yeah, you know, let's have this big communist revolution. Yeah, the people rebel and take over. And kind of remind me a bit of the Church of Scientology. It was like all the people who are running it, like, yeah, what we're doing is awesome and we're making the world a better place. And yeah, and it's all like, yes, build a utopia, you know. There's one point in the book, right, where he describes what a typical person of the party looks like or something like that. And he describes that the guy has little beady eyes and wears glasses and is short and stumpy. And he goes, lots of people in the party look like that. And you're just like, what the hell? Like, that's just not, he's not just adding that for no reason into the storyline. Like, yeah, everyone just looks sort of stumpy and has beady eyes. Like, he's literally describing what people look like who tend to follow these totalitarian systems. Like, it's just hard to describe. One time I went to a meetup of people who are YouTubers, right, in the city in Melbourne, and it was just all these sort of nerdy YouTube people, right, and they got together as a meetup to say hi, and I went along because I just recently got into YouTube and I thought it would be interesting. My friend said come along because it would be interesting because he went to one of them before, but my friend isn't like a nerdy YouTuber. So we went along, and the people who I spoke to and saw there were the most bizarre people I've ever seen, ever. It was the most bizarre collection of people. I was just like, what the hell? Like all of them seemed to be not quite right. They all seemed to have something wrong with them. And a lot of them were dumpy and had like the squinty looking eye. Or maybe not, yeah, sort of the squinty eye, but the dumpy look, like short, stumpy arms and stuff. Like none of them were jock looking, for example. None of them were jock looking, none of them were good looking. They were like weird little, they were just bizarre because I was just like, what the hell is going on that people who are YouTuber nerds look like this? It was just really, really bizarre. And it was just like, what the hell? And so this is a similar thing in that certain people who look a certain way literally gravitate towards a certain thing. It's really, really weird. And apparently it seems to be because the spirit that's inside the body, right, can change what the body looks like. And
It's not like it can, if it's born into, if the spirit's born into a white body, if our spirits are born into a white body, we can somehow turn it black or from a black body to a white. It's not that extreme, but the spirit definitely has an effect, and their lifestyle choice has an effect on how their body ends up being. So if you've got a jockey sort of action man type of guy, he'll end up being, you know, like 6 foot tall. He's more likely to be six foot tall and muscular and normal man looking. But let's say he's got a nerdy brother who should technically genes wise actually look similar to his brother, but the nerdy brother ends up being shorter and dumpier and then ends up having to wear glasses and look squinty and sometimes walks with a limp. And I'm not kidding. And that's because it's them as spiritual beings have affected the body that they're gone in to make it grow that certain way. And some of these people, the YouTubers, literally had like a limp or like a squinty eye or something. Like they seriously were the weirdest people I've ever met. And then another time I remember going to a carnival and seeing people who worked at the carnival, right? And they were these same really bizarre, strange looking people. Like I know there's a stereotype carny who looks really rough and like really, but I'm not talking about the carny type, not the ones that drive the trucks and drive the machine rides around. They're more like truckers, like hardcore. But these were more like the young, you know, between the ages of 15 and 25. People who like operate like the dodgem cars or like little ball games or like the throw a hammer thing at carnival things, they also had the same as that as the YouTubers thing, is that they just had this weird, nerdy, bizarre look about them. And it was just like, what the hell? Why are all these weirdos gravitating towards working at the carnival? Like, no offense to them, I'm not really, I don't mind, you can be however you want. But it's just, I just find it such an interesting coincidence that they all had something slightly wrong with them or they just looked weird. And it's just such an interesting thing, it's such an interesting phenomenon. People who look like that gravitate towards certain things. So in the 1984 book, people who work in the party, because the party is only who actually, apparently the way 1984 is set up is, 80% of the population are just poor people, which is the poor masses. 10% is the party, and I think another 10% is the inner party. So the 10% of the population is the elite, like the best of the best, you know. And they're in the inner party, and they get good things. The 10% below that, the other 10% below that, who just work in the party, they're like the slaves because they work hard for the government, they do all the propaganda, they have to do all the crap, and then the proles are just living crappily in the streets. But so the people who gravitate into that role of working in the party in the world, he's describing how they tend to look a certain way, and he's not just making it up. Like, that's just, this is like, he probably experienced these sort of people in the government when he was alive. He probably saw them. And so he noted it down. And the really funny thing is, when I was involved with the Church of Scientology, I noticed that exact sort of looking person that was like this little dumpy, nerdy looking person that gets like power and excitement out of being a part of the party or part of the church, like the same sort of thing. Because in 1984, when he described that type of person, he also said they seem to get an exciting buzz out of being involved in the party, like a lot of happiness and joy in their life. And it's just like, he's describing a similar thing, like where the YouTubers all look the same. That's not just made up. They legitimately look like they're weird circus clowns. And they all act like immature. That's another thing as well. They don't act like adults. They act immature. They act like they're little 14-year-old kids bouncing around high on Coca-Cola. Like, I'm not kidding. This is what they seem like, and they sort of act like, and they look like, and they're like, hee, dancing around, I work at a carnival, I'm a YouTuber. Like, I'm not kidding. They act like this, right? And so this is how insightful 1984 is when he's describing the type of people who work in the party. This is based on fact. Like, this is truth. You can remember that. Like, if the New World Order does take over, they're the sorts of people you'll see that look like they're in the party and stuff. And you'll probably see people who look like that working for Hillary Clinton's campaign or something. Like, really. It's just amazing. So that was just one thing when I read it in the book, and it was just like, oh my God, I've noticed that in the world as well. They tend to look like this, and they get power and excitement out of being involved in a big thing because they're such pathetic losers that they can't do anything by themselves because they're such fear-ridden, scary people who just can't think for themselves. But they come together in a group, like a church or like into a political movement, a big socialism movement, and it gives them excitement and buzz. And yes, I can be powerful and I can do something with my life because I'm part of the group. But it's just the truth is that they're really weak and they're really pathetic and they're in such a bad condition themselves. They can't just do anything by themselves independently. They've basically given themselves up to groupthink. They've become part of the hive mind. And this is what 1984 talks about. And it's extremely interesting. It's just so epic. It labels down how the hive mind is. A lot of these people who are left-wing, they're not even really thinking for themselves. They're joining in part of this whole movement of, yeah, and they're becoming part of a team. And I see it in comedy as well, that they, instead of just doing their own thing comedy-wise, they're always part of the group, you know? Like they because they're weak and they're scared deep down themselves and they worry what everyone thinks of them themselves, they can't act independently and they can't even think independently because they don't want to say their own thoughts out loud because they're concerned about what people think, what people say about their ideas and stuff. So they don't tend to be very opinionated or have their own ideas about things because they're scared of it all the time. So they just repeat what the group says. And if the group says this movie is bad, then they'll say the movie's bad. Or if this group says that we got to take in refugees, they'll say you got to take in refugees, you know. And it's really interesting because I remember speaking to a person who had this type of personality. And I was talking about the truth about vaccines, actually, and I go, look, this is what the truth is. I'm just letting you know the truth. And he goes, Andy, there is no truth. And that's exactly a line like out of 1984. That's exactly what people who are members of the party think in the book 1984. Because they've been drilled into them that the truth is whatever the party says. So if the party says 2 + 2 = 5, that's the truth. That like and when Winston in the last part of the book is getting brainwashed, it's the guy who sits down with him, I think it's O'Brien, sits down with him, right, and keeps on drilling into him that no, the truth is whatever we say the truth is. And then Winston resists and says, no, if 2 + 2 = 4, and it doesn't matter how many times the party says it equals 4, it can never equal 5. And then the guy goes, no, 2 + 2 = 5 if we say it equals 5. And this is exactly what this person said to me. And it was amazing to hear him say it. He goes, there is no truth. It's just whatever everyone else thinks is the truth. And that's bullshit. It's not what everyone else thinks. You know? Like, that's outrageous. It's just because what everyone thinks is usually some sort of propaganda thing. It's amazing. I mean, yeah, when you read the book, you just realize how much of it isn't fiction. It's truly, if you haven't had heaps of life experience and you're reading it, just keep in mind that a lot of this is true in the way these people think. And even the brainwashing scene in the last part of the book, that's like an accurate way to brainwash. That's basically, you could read that chapter and then work out how to brainwash someone using the principles in that chapter. Like, they seem to be injecting him with drugs. They seem to be giving him sleep deprivation, giving him food deprivation, basically torturing, scaring him to death. But at the same time, he scares him to death, but at the same time, he cares and looks after him. So it screws with the guy's mind in the end of it. I mean, I don't know in case you haven't read it, but the book's still awesome if you don't. It doesn't matter if you know the end of it. The book's still totally awesome. You should read it. It doesn't really come as a surprise. But in the end, he basically is completely broken down by the brainwashing, and he ends up loving Big Brother and the state, and he gets all his joys and happiness that he has from the party. Instead of being happy from his own independent actions and doing what he wants to do with his life, in the end, he's become one of them and he's joined the party, like, properly. He's been thoroughly brainwashed. He's given up in his own individual existence, and the only joy he gets is when he hears that they've won on the battlefield, or when he hears news about the party and they've done something good. And so he's become just, they've forced him with the brainwashing to become a part of the hive mind. So there's no more individual identity. And this is what the New World Order exactly wants to do. They want us all to be slaves and all to be part of the hive mind, and no individuality, no differentness, no uniqueness, no doing what you want to do. You're one of, you're a collective. You're one of the group. This is what socialism is. It's one of the group. And the thing that's really bad about it is there's no problem with people getting together and having a group if they want to come together and have a group. But having it forced, that is the problem. Forcing people who maybe don't want to be a part of it to do it. That's the thing. And the reason why they do the forcing is because a lot of the people who are running these socialism thingos and the New World Order and the communism and all that sort of stuff, a lot of them are sickos and they enjoy inflicting pain on other people. They're sadistic. The guy who's brainwashing Winston in the last part, Winston says to him, he goes, "Why don't you just execute me now?" Because Winston wasn't going along with the party, right? So he was being problematic and he was being a rebel. So why don't they just take him and go, "Okay, you're not going along with the party, we'll just execute you." They don't do that in the book. They take him and they torture him basically in brainwash him, and then they end up completely winning over him as a being. And then in the end, he's just an alcoholic sitting in a cafe, literally playing chess and just listening to the telly screen and going to a few, like, sometimes goes to work, but just does some stupid little meeting where, like, they don't get anywhere in the meeting and really achieve anything in the meeting. And it's like some unimportant meeting and some unimportant job. And he just, he's just been broken down as a person. He's just an alcoholic that sits there and just takes gin to get happy and thinks about, you know, the party succeeding, and then he's happy. And in the end, he's like, "I love Big Brother," and that's the end of him. Because instead of having his own dreams and desires, he's been caught up in this whole Big Brother idea. Anyway, so he could have gotten taught, he could have gotten just killed. But no, they don't do that. They thoroughly brainwash you and convert you, and then they just let you go live out your life. They actually end up executing you years later, but they make sure you've been thoroughly, completely converted and brainwashed. And the question is, why don't they just kill them? It would be a lot easier, you know, like, if this person's a rebel, we're not going along with our party and our cause, let's just kill him. It's because the people who are in the party want to change people's mind and torture them and brainwash them because they enjoy it. And these are the people. These are like the Hillary Clintons and stuff. These are the people who are up, who are running these big leftist movements and stuff. They'll be the sort of people in 1984 who would be doing the brainwashing and enjoying it. Because it's just collectivism, right? Communism, all this sort of stuff, is saying that sort of money's evil and greedy. We should all come together as a group and not, you know, let one person just have all this money and other people be poor. You can go and start up your own communistic or socialistic movement out in the bush in some private land, set up your own community and start up your own little communist state if you want to do that. You can go find an island. There's plenty of land in the world, and go and do that. But they don't do that. They stay in our society and they just whinge and complain and try and change our political system and make it more and more worse, and try and force a political system that I don't want, that a lot of people don't want. Why do you have to force it onto me? Why don't you just go onto an island and go and do your own thing on the island? That's what I would do. If I believed in socialism, I would go and start my own thing on an island. And then the problem would be solved. You know, I mean, all you need to do is start. It's just like off the movie The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. That's socialism. That's them coming together. They don't use money on the island. They all just have different. They all just have different roles. Someone does the fishing. Someone does the building. Someone does the getting of the water, and it all works. Well, it actually doesn't really work in the end. They end up leaving the island because it just, I think it can work for a few years, but you end up just getting over it. It's just long term. I think it's a bit too hard. But, you know, why aren't these people going and just doing that in this society? No, they're trying to forcefully change our society. It's just ridiculous. So a lot of them who are trying to, you know, it's only, you know, 3% of the society or whatever who are these hardcore people, or 20% who are these hardcore negative people and stuff. And they enjoy seeing other people suffer. Like, I remember I got someone I know who would always sort of like, as soon as you start playing games, they always instantly just start cheating because they just like the idea of screwing people over. Like when it comes to card games or anything, they get a little thrill out of it. It's fun to just cheat or be shifty. And they will do other things where they're manipulative. Like they're quick thinking and they're manipulative, and they try and do shifty things like trick people. Like if you're playing or something, I just remember being a little kid, if you're playing, they're just these shifty little. And the thing is, the person I'm thinking of, he's all right, you know, but if he had a bad upbringing, he could have grown up to be quite a negative, nasty person, because I could see him, you know, doing more of these manipulative little shifty things that he would do, and end up growing up to be some really shifty banker or something. Because a lot of these people who are really evil have had bad upbringings, and that's what brings out their horrificness in them, because someone basically fucks them up or molests them or beats them up, and then they're just like, fuck the world, and they're just like in a state of just fuming anger for the rest of their lives. Anyway, so they'll take the roles as the police officers in 1984 or something like that and use an excuse to beat people up, and then they'll get promoted to the brainwashing section, and then they'll end up brainwashing people and go, I'm not brainwashing you, I'm making you love Big Brother. Yeah, love it, get into it. And they get thrill and power. And so they love 1984, the party, because their lives are better with the party. They get to brainwash and torture people more. Yeah, so it's just an... In that first part of the book, literally, there were many times when I stopped and just thought, oh my God, I have to think about what I just read. That is incredibly deep and knowledgeable and accurate in describing what's going on. It's very, very intelligent and very impressive. It's got to be up there in one of the best books ever written. It's just so intelligent. And the way how, like, this was 1948 or whatever when it was written. And to know that we would all have TVs everywhere and that they'll also be able to record what was going on in the room. I mean, that they've been invented. Do you know that? Do you know that Panasonic has released TVs that have cameras in them and microphones that listen to you and can record you and stuff? Like, seriously, check it out. Check out Alex Jones. He talks about it. But it's just like, what the F? Like, literally, because that's, it's just bizarre. Like, it actually happened, and the whole telescreen thing actually happened from 1984. And there's TVs that can do that, that are being made now and being sold now. It's just absolutely crazy. It's like, what the hell? They're not, like, the, George Orwell knew about the New World Order, and he knew... Well, he knew how the world works, and he knew that it was very much possible a new world order could occur or something like that. It's just amazing. It's really, really amazing. I mean, yeah. Even the brainwashing section is just so interesting. But I mean, I guess I'm just wobbling on. I mean, what more do I have to say besides the fact that it's just an amazing book? It's just so... It's so insightful. It really, when you share the world with a small percentage of people who are just evil, you end up getting a 1984 situation. Because that what's going on in the book 1984 is that the elite are in control of the whole of society and have a full control of the whole of society, and they keep everyone poor and they keep everyone controlled. They control everything through the party. But at the same time, I might go, well, why the hell would anyone go along with that? Because they're all brainwashed into thinking that this is how things should be and this is a good thing. So the party members are thinking, we're making an awesome, we're making an awesome nation. We're making an awesome country. We're going to take over the world. You know, we have great inventions, and it says that Big Brother invented the aeroplane and stuff. You know, we've got this great leader, Big Brother, who never makes any mistakes, and we're doing really, really good. And they see false statistics and propaganda that the party put out, and they think, yeah, we're doing really good, you know, and we're fighting this war, and we've got to fight this war. And, oh, I know I don't have much food in my life. It's actually really, really shit, but I've got to sacrifice in order to create this great society. And so all these people are tricked into thinking that this is a good thing and this is how it should be. And they're happy to be part of it. I mean, obviously people, not everyone gets sucked into it. Like Winston didn't. And other people get, you know, killed as well and run away and stuff. But a lot of people stay in and get sucked into thinking, because the way these people are who dominate and who are negative and evil, they're always shifty. They never just go like Hitler. Hitler, when he took over Germany, everyone thought it was an awesome thing and they loved the Führer and they thought what he was doing was good and it was like an elite. It was all shifty and it was all like, it seemed like really good when you're a part of it. But then as it goes on for the years, next minute your country's just all blown up and everything's shit. And that's what it's just like. And it's just so, so interesting. Because they don't openly try and just, they have to do it the way they do the takeovers, they make it shifty, and so they make, to get the average person to go along with it, they make the average person think that they're winning and that it's a good thing. And it's just like all this crap that's going on at the moment, like global warming. Yeah, you've got to sacrifice because we're saving the planet and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you've got to give over your freedom so that we've got to protect us against terrorists, you know, and oh, we've got to tax you more so we can give more money to and spend it on good things. And it's just all bullshit. Don't go along with it. It's just crap. And it's just 1984 is an exaggeration of what really goes on in the world. So that in the exaggeration, you can see it clearly. Someone could write a book these days and it shows what's going on in the world, and some people would read it and wouldn't even realize that it was exposing a conspiracy, because the conspiracy is so well hidden. It's like you have to exaggerate everything. You have to exaggerate the lies of global warming. You have to exaggerate what they're doing with terrorists and lots of stuff, so that the average person who reads it can see how it's dodgy and corrupt. Just say in a fiction book, can see how it's dodgy and corrupt. It's that, so in 1984 book, everything's exaggerated. It's just like, the like, war is peace, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you have to exaggerate things a bit more in the story so people can really see what's going on. But also, because that's how things will end up being as it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. The only thing he doesn't have is, he doesn't have, in 1984, he doesn't have things like vaccines or psychiatric drugs or, oh no, that's in there actually, psychiatric drugs are. I think electric shock is in there as well, I think. Anyway, he doesn't have things like global warming, doesn't have things like the terrorist thing, or it sort of almost does, But what I'm saying is that there's so much bullshit corruption that's going on in the world, so much trickery. If he was around today, his jaw would drop when you're studying these conspiracies, because he would go, oh my God, these were so cleverly hidden. it would just amaze him. Like, he would go, oh, my God, yes, global warming. Isn't that interesting? Just say, come up with all these lies and bullshit statistics saying the world's hot, and then you can take all these people's freedoms from them. And he would go, what a genius idea. Say it's the atmosphere and have all the scientists be corrupted. And then he goes, oh, and vaccines, oh, my God, what an even better idea. Have people be injected with things that changes their mind and screws them up. And then they turn to the state for help, and then... and have them all trust the state and think that, oh, I must get my vaccines. And just, for me personally, waking up to what's going on in the world is pretty amazing and pretty epic, and how cleverly and shifty it is. And, yeah, I think if George Orwell was around today, he would just go, wow. He'd go, wow, I didn't see this coming. He'll go, yeah, all the same structure and everything, but the specific conspiracies to control and harm people, he'll be impressed at their way of going about it. Like, for example, he talks about in 1984, talks about newspeak, this language where they take away words so that people... You can control what people think and do by taking away words in a language. So if there's no such word as freedom, then people aren't going to be running around saying, I want freedom, you know. But if you teach people what freedom is and promote the word freedom, people start going, yeah, I want to be free from this system. Screw this government shit. Anyway, so then that's what goes on in 1984. But in today's society, what they do is, in order to stop, ban words and stuff, they start by saying, oh, it's offensive language. It's harming people. Oh, political correctness. Oh, that's harmful. Oh, you can't call someone. It starts off with like sort of reasonable stuff like, oh, you can't call someone a fag. It's offensive. Or you can't call someone a gook or something. Oh, it harms their feelings. And then it just keeps on getting ratcheted up to more and more words. And then eventually just like, it just basically stops you from having any freedom of speech. Like, oh, you can't go, no, you can't talk about vaccines being bad. That's hate speech. And it's just like, yeah, but vaccines are like fucking damaging all these people and stuff. Just like, no, that's hate speech. And it's starting, it implementing all these ideas of like thought police and all this sort of stuff. Because in 1984, they have thought crime. And so with this whole political correctness thing, it's like you haven't actually committed a crime. You can say something like black fucking nigger. And I'm going to say this on the podcast. Wow, it's a word. Who cares? I like black people. I have no problems with them. It's just a word. You can call me a white fucking piece of shit. I don't mind. Anyway, but they start off and then they say, no, you can't say that word. And then they say, but you go, you haven't done anything bad to black people. Like you actually haven't put them in a concentration camp and killed them, or you haven't walked down the street and kicked them in the face or stolen something from them. All you've said is a word. It's not really a harmful act. I don't think you can go to jail for calling someone a dickhead. You know what I mean? They're just words. Calling someone nigger or something else, they're just words. But they start off saying, oh, no, words are wrong. And then eventually they'll make words illegal. And they'll make words like nigger illegal. And it's like, hold on. I don't know if someone can get in trouble for not actually doing an act. And this is thought crime. This is what 1984 is talking about, when Winston doesn't even actually have to do an act like blow up a party building or steal something from the party. He just has to have a thought that's negative against the party and maybe write it in his diary, like, I dislike the party, or say it to a friend, I don't like the party, the party's shit. And that's the crime. That's all he needs to say. And it's just a word. He hasn't even actually committed an act. And this is how it works. This is how... it's just amazing, because it's just... the whole thought crime thing is just what the political correctness thing will eventually end up leading to. It'll end up leading to society and the police, if the left wingers have their way, society and the police being able to control what people think. It's not that I'm against people saying harmful things. I don't agree with people saying harmful things either. But you know what I definitely don't agree with? You know, the police controlling people and telling people what to think, and then passing laws saying you can't say that, and the media brainwashing people into thinking that certain things are offensive and all this sort of stuff. It's, you have to nip these things in the bud before they get bigger, before they really become a problem. Because they'll end up being like 1984. And so you need to stop these things. It's just wild. There's a big difference. Sticks and stones will break my bones, names will never hurt me. You know, there's a big difference between actually committing a harmful, like, harmful act against someone else and then just saying a word that could be construed as being racist. And it's just a silly word. And it's just like, people shouldn't get offended by words anyway. Seriously. You shouldn't get offended by words. If you're going around in life getting easily offended by words that people use, I reckon you need to, you know, start getting healthy, start doing some spiritual counseling, and get stronger as a person so that words don't affect you. Because it means that you're sensitive and you've actually got a problem. Serious. I used to be like that. I used to get affected by words. Now, like, it's like water off a duck's back if things hit me. Words are offensive. You know, like, you're a dickhead, or, you know, you're brainwashed, or, you know, you're crazy, or just anything. It's just like, okay, just keep on throwing it at me. They're just words. I'm fine. Words can't harm me, you know. But when I used to get offended by those sort of things, it was actually because there was a problem in me. I wasn't strong enough as a person. I was unhealthy. I wasn't smart enough. And those sort of things would offend me. So it's just very interesting, you know. If someone gets offended by some comedian's joke or something like that, you know, yes, sometimes a comedian can say a joke that's actually just mean. But if they're really sensitive and they really get offended and they actually get upset and they start crying, that person just has serious issues, and they probably have all these other shit problems with their life and all this sort of crap that they're getting so upset about. But you can't say that. Because everyone will go, oh, you're saying that the minority group who's getting offended, or the poor, weak minority group who's getting abused, is actually in the wrong. How dare you suggest that, Andy Nolch? Oh, the poor minority, weak little minority group. Oh, they're the ones who are getting harmed, and you're saying that they're in the wrong. That is such a mean, bigoted opinion to have. And it's just like, the way you're treating them, people, just assuming that they're weak, is just mean and offensive. You should try and make the people rise up to new heights. And they shouldn't really get offended. Seriously, the best condition you can be in life is like the Dalai Lama, like as high as you can get, where you just nothing offends you. Do you think Jesus would get offended if someone called him, let's say if Jesus was black, someone called him nigger, would you think Jesus would get offended? Like, honestly, he'll just go, okay, like, I just kind of got like tortured on a cross, so I actually know what harmful acts are, not words. But it'll just also be like, okay, so nigger's just a word. Yeah. Okay. He would be more concerned about like a university lecturer speaking lies about how the economy works. Because that's really important stuff. There's actually really important. See, this is the thing with the left. Right? Some of this, like, I agree, yeah, you shouldn't say mean things. But, you know, it might get, you have to nip it in the bud before it ends up being a thought police, because seriously, end up being the thought police and ends up making you question everything you do. Like, oh, I can't do that because I might say something wrong, and oh, I don't want to offend, and oh, I have to walk around on tiptoes, and end up having to live like the way these leftists live, where they don't have much of a great existence, and they just end up having to be scared about offending people all the time. Like, literally, they're worried a lot of the time. You'll ask them, you go, hey, can you invite this person to this event or something? And they go, oh no, I can't invite that person, or because blah, 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 blah. And they go, oh, no, I can't invite blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, I'll just send invites out to anyone. I don't care. Like, I'm cool. Like, they're just not cool. They're always like, No, but about this whole left thing is the reason, a major reason is the fact that I see them protesting things and I just go, oh my God. If you only really actually knew what was going on in the world, you wouldn't be fucking all protesting the building of a bridge. Like, literally, are you serious? Like, okay, maybe it's not nice that horses get hurt when they do the horse racing stuff, but how about the kids getting injected with stuff that, like, destroys their immune system for the rest of their life, so they easily get colds and they can easily get diseases, and they just are in a, they have, like, itchy feet and uncomfortable muscle tensions and spasms, and they can't think straight and they get songs stuck in their head. That is fucking torture. And that's what's going on. That's not nice. That's serious. That's our kids that are getting this injected into them. And you're worried about horses getting harmed with whips. Like, seriously, there's chemicals, fluoride, in our water supply. You're drinking. And you're concerned about the world warming up. Like, because here's the thing. What's really going on in the world is so unbelievable that if they started looking into it, they'll go, no way, no, it can't be that. And they'll just turn their head away and walk off. And they'll end up going, what outrages me? Yeah, there's horse getting whipped. Oh, no, horses whipping is, oh, that's what's really bad. You know? What the hell? Certain people can't handle the truth. And if you want to look, there's a podcast, episode one of this podcast, where I talk about, it's called You Can't Handle the Truth, because it describes how these people think. There are people on this world who can't handle the truth. And so when you try and lead them towards truth, they just turn away from it, because it's just, they can't. Do you know how some people are gullible and just believe anything? These people are the opposite of that. They're opposite gullible. They just can't believe anything. So all they do is just believe whatever's really standard and normal. So you can try and lead them towards the truth about, like, let's say, vaccines, and then you just go, no way, it can't be that. It can't be a conspiracy that big. And it's just like, yeah, mate, this world's horrifically corrupt. It's just like, do you want me to tell them about the alien bases? Like, there's alien, there's bases, military bases and stuff, where humans are working with aliens. And look, I'm not going to say it's definitely existed, because I only like to say definitely if I've seen it with myself. But this shit is going on. There's tons of UFO footage. There's tons of evidence. Everything's backing it up. There's people who can do remote viewing, right? These are psychic people who can do remote viewing, where they can go into the base as a spirit and stuff and see it. Well, not exactly, but long story. It took me years to really believe about the alien thing, actually, and it also took me years and heaps of evidence to really believe about these conspiracies. But they are the truth. They are what's going on. And these certain type of people, these lefties, can't. These socialists, they don't even know they're socialists. It's just ridiculous. They don't even know what these words mean. They don't even know what communism means. These people, right, they just can't believe the truth. And I guarantee you, they're just the sort of people who, would admit to you, they'd say, if I saw it with my own eyes, I still wouldn't believe it. I would think it's some sort of mental delusion that I was having. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, you just, like, you're so stubborn in your beliefs. Like, you just, you can't open your mind up to new possibilities. I've got, right, a light that has stayed on, like, a flashlight sort of torch thing. It stayed on for 10 days straight, and it wasn't even charged. And it's still going. And it won't even turn off. I try and turn the off button on it, and it doesn't turn off. And it just keeps on running. And I thought it was flat in the first place. So even if it's fully charged, I wouldn't expect it to last for 10 days. Right? But it wouldn't have been fully charged. I was surprised it even turned on at all. I didn't even turn on in the first place. It was just automatically on. And you try and switch the off button, it won't even turn off. And it runs for 10 days straight. Now, what the F is that? Is that a ghost who did that or what? Why is this light not turning on? Why isn't it running out of battery? See, unless you have these things happen to you in your own life, you don't start questioning what's going on. Unless you have these unusual things happen to you, unless you've seen the UFOs, unless you've seen a flashlight doesn't turn off, unless you've seen a ghost, you don't start questioning things. So these people, they're so far gone that even if they saw something with their own eyes, they'll go, no, there's some explanation for it. I can't find out why. No, I'm not going to investigate the universe anymore. They can't handle the truth. They genuinely can't handle the truth. And these are these lefties and stuff. They can't handle finding out what's really going on. And what's really going on is a system heading towards 1984, being very much like that book. It's wild. If anyone wants to, with these people we share the planet with, there's no choice, there's no question to it. You have to get a hold of 1984 and read it. And if you've read it years ago, you have to get a hold of it and read it again. It's not a long book. Take your time, read it, think with it. Look up the definition of words while you're reading it, because he uses lots of words to describe things. Like he'll say like a blah, blah, blah table, and you're like, what the hell is that? And it'll be like a fancy type of wood table or something. But he uses lots of words, you don't know what they mean. Make sure you look up things. Try and understand it. You have to know that book, because it's very, very intelligent, has a lot of information, and will help you in understanding how the world works. It's just so interesting. Freedom is slavery. See, these people think that by being slaves and working for the party all the time, that'll make them free. And that is being free. It was so interesting. It was like the Church of Scientology. It was like literally Sea Org people who I saw were working for the cause, trying to make this thing happen, trying to make this world utopia where everyone's a Scientologist and it's great. But at the same time, they were being slaves working so hard to achieve that. So for them, freedom was slavery, and it was like, what the hell? I'm not saying I'm against the Sea Org or anything, but it's just so interesting, the parallels. It was unbelievable. I host the Indie Scientology podcast. I'm going to do a podcast specifically comparing, and other people have done writings on this, comparing the Church of Scientology to 1984, because the similarities are unbelievable. I read 1984 last time, about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was a Scientologist at that stage, and I liked the book, and I thought it was insightful, but I hadn't really, really been educated in the conspiracies of what's going on in the world. I hadn't really understood how the church worked. I didn't really understand the whole alien connection and all these sort of things. And when I read it, this 1984 book just recently, it all tied together and it all made so much sense. So when I would read a sentence in 1984, I had my own memories and experience to compare it to what I'd seen in real life, and my jaw would just drop and go, oh my God, this is just true. This is how the world goes. This is how the world works. It wasn't like that 3-4 years ago. But it was now, when I had all this information to back it up. And it made it so much more interesting. That's why the more and more knowledge you get, the more and more you can understand things, and more you can get things out of it. And it was awesome. It was totally awesome reading it this last time. I'm sure, I don't even know if I need to read it again. I think I know it so well, I've gotten enough out of it. But yeah, there's a big difference between now and 3 years ago when I read it. About, actually, it was about almost 4 years ago when I read it last. It was just so interesting having all this information to back it up. Like someone like Alex Jones can read 1984 and it blows his mind the same way it does with me, because he has all this information and real life examples of how it's true. I could do a video commentary that would go on forever on the book 1984. I could open it up, start reading the first sentence, and then go stop. I have to comment on this. That's how epic. That's how epic the book is, and how much it needs to be elaborated on. But the podcast would just go on forever because I'd have to read the whole book in the podcast, and it would just be, you know. Anyway, but you have to get a hold of this book and reread it. I give it 5 stars. It's pretty much as good as you can get for a book. 5 stars. And I like the way how it's short as well, because it just has all the information you need. Whereas all these books waffle on, all this crap that universities get people to read, just read, 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 read. No, you don't need to have things long that long. You can have things short and really nice and have all the information you need in them. That's how good 1984 is. Oh, one last thing. I think it's in the middle of the book. Winston gets a hold of Emmanuel Goldstein's book on how oligarchical political system works. And it's basically the book that describes how the 1984 world works and how the politics of it works. How, like, the rich are in control of society and in control of the party, and they keep everyone poor. And they're the mega rich, they're the elite, and they actually were the capitalists prior to the whole revolution went on. They weren't actually really capitalists, they were crony capitalists, they were dodgy capitalists. Because a capitalist is just someone who wants to make money and do fair business and stuff and have competition. But they were dodgy capitalists who got super rich because they were really dodgy and cutthroat. And so, in order to cement their power and take over of society, they instituted this huge government takeover of everything for the people, for the good of the people, to help people so that average person isn't as bad. But they just did it so that it meant that they had no more competition and they were completely in control of society, because that's all they really want. Some of these people are so rich. She's like, what more do they want? They want total control. They want total power. And it talks about the book 1984, talks about power. They want to be able to brainwash someone and take them and use them as an absolute slave and make them think exactly the way they want them to think. They want to completely control someone. That's what 1984 talks about. That's what they get off to. That's what they really enjoy. They enjoy just torturing people. They're sadistic, basically. So Winston comes across this book by Emmanuel Goldstein. And it describes how that whole political system works and how they have they always have them warring, so it keeps everyone poor and everyone busy. It's always about keeping everyone busy. You've got to keep the average person really, really busy because they don't get out of the trap of life. They don't have enough time to educate themselves and work out what's really going on. You got to keep them dumb. You got to keep them busy. You got to keep them occupied. Keep them in a war because it keeps them like desperate and having to work, and it keeps them all busy. The way how you break out of the matrix, firstly, is you've got to come up with some sort of job where you can have all this free time to study the world and work out what's going on, because it requires heaps and heaps and heaps of study. But if you just do it 9 to 5 and just watch TV a little bit in the evening, you're never going to have enough time to do all. You need to have time to do spiritual counseling. You need to have time to do this. You need to have time to travel here. You need to just. You can't just work all the time. Study is the most important thing. That's how you break out of the matrix. How you break out of this whole system. Requires so much study to work out what's going on. Anyway, so that's part of 1984, is they keep them warring, keep everyone busy and working huge hours so that they have no time. The same thing happened in the Church of Scientology. They kept the staff members working so many big hours so that you couldn't really educate yourself on what's going on in the church or in the world. You just have no time to do anything else. It's exactly what they want. I heard recently in Australia they're talking about increasing the amount of hours a kid spend at schools. This is exactly what happens for the good of the kids, you know, and the next minute they'll increase another 3 more hours, and eventually the kid will literally be at school almost the whole day, and they'll be totally there to just be totally brainwashed and totally controlled from the beginning to the end of the day. And basically, as a person, they'll no longer be an individual. They'll just be a product. They'll just be like a kid of the government, and they'll live in government facilities, and they'll just be raised totally by the government, and they'll just be part of the government. This is what eventually it leads to. Like out of that book, A Brave New World, where you're just part of the state. Anyway, so that part in the middle of the book where he describes, where Emmanuel Goldstein describes the whole political system and structure, that's so insightful and so smart and explains how the world works and stuff. And you got to check that out. So, 5 stars for the book 1984 by George Orwell. All right, that's it for this podcast. If you like this podcast, subscribe to it in iTunes or on Andy Nolch's YouTube channel. Check out the Kink TV show if you want to see some comedy. It's on every Friday night at 11:30 p.m. on Channel 31 in Melbourne. But outside of that, just go to the YouTube. Check out the Kink TV show on YouTube. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Andy Nolch, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Yahoo!